eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you.
Welcome to another broadcast from Life Point Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Wherever you are at this point in life, we pray that God will use the following message as a source of help and encouragement as you listen. Stay tuned at the end of today's broadcast to learn how you can contact us for additional resources or to receive further spiritual help. And now, here's today's message.
Well, if you look on the screen, just so that I can demonstrate to you that I am capable of coming up with a more original and creative title for one of my sermons, I have titled this message, Our Pudding of Proof. I really decided to try to get creative this time. So where does this title come from? Well, most of you have heard the saying, the proof is in the pudding. And actually, that's a shortened version of the original phrase, which is, the proof of the pudding is in the eating. That's actually the original phrase, but that's been shortened over the centuries, actually, because this phrase goes way back to the 1600s even. So whether you use the original or the shortened version, the meaning is basically the same. It means that the only true test of something is in how it was intended to be used. Pudding, for example, was not intended to simply be looked upon. It was intended to be eaten. And therefore, it proves itself as pudding once the onlooker experiences the taste of it. So, as people who claim to be Christians or disciples of Jesus Christ, we need to realize what Jesus himself says about how that claim is proven. So before we read these verses, let me set the scene a little bit. You remember last week we talked about the Last Supper, the Passover meal. Jesus was very eager to have that meal with his disciples. He knew what lied ahead. And so we're going to read from that passage of Scripture again, and he's soon going to fulfill the reason that he came. And now he's going to give some very important instructions to his disciples. These are some of the last words that he's going to say to his disciples. The very ones, these are the same disciples through whom his work will continue by the empowering Holy Spirit. And here's what he says. We're going to look at John chapter 13, starting in verse 34. Jesus says, "So now I am giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples." Now, the commandment to love one another was not new. If you look at Leviticus 19, chapter 19, verse 18, you'll see the commandment to love your neighbor as yourself. What makes this new is Jesus' qualifying statement of just as I have loved you. That's the qualifying statement that makes this command new. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. The disciples had already experienced 3 years of Jesus demonstrating his love for them and for others. That alone probably made his command hard to wrap their minds around, thinking that they would need to do the same. But at that time when he said this, they were still unaware of the extent to which his love would be proven to them. So we're going to come back to this in a little bit, but first I want us to consider this passage of Scripture. in Mark chapter 12, starting in verse 28. We got it on the screen if you don't have your Bible with you. One of the teachers of religious law was standing there listening to the debate. He realized that Jesus had answered well, so he asked, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" Jesus replied, "The most important commandment is this: Listen, O Israel, the Lord our God is the one and only Lord, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength." Then he continues, "The second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself." And he concludes with, "No other commandment is greater than these." The teacher of religious law, this is verse 32, the teacher of religious law replied, "Well said, teacher. You have spoken the truth by saying that there is only one God and no other. And I know it is important to love Him with all my heart and all my understanding and all my strength, and to love my neighbor as myself." Remember, this commandment was not new. "This is more important than to offer all of the burnt offerings and sacrifices required in the law." This is the religious teacher who's saying this. He says, "This is more important," these two commandments are more important than to offer all of the burnt offerings and sacrifices required in the law. Realizing how much the man understood, Jesus said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom." And after that, no one dared to ask him any more questions. Well, just from the statement given by the teacher of religious law, Jesus could tell that he was close to the kingdom of God. Why was the man's statement so significant? It's because it comes from a statement God Himself made through the prophet Hosea. In Hosea 6, chapter 6, verse 6, He says, this is God speaking through the prophet. He says, "I want you to show love." And love here, in some translations, it will say mercy. And the meaning is the same. "I want you to show love," or mercy, "not offer sacrifices. I want you to know me more than I want burnt offerings." Jesus quotes this scripture himself. When he was questioned about his interaction with Matthew, the tax collector, and his friends, if you recall, when he called Matthew to come and follow him. So let's take a look at that passage. Matthew chapter 9, starting with verse 9. "As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at his tax collector's booth. 'Follow me and be my disciple,' Jesus said to him. So Matthew got up and followed him. Later, Matthew invited Jesus and his disciples to his home as dinner guests, along with many tax collectors and other disreputable sinners. But when the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, 'Why does your teacher eat with such scum?' When Jesus heard this, he said, 'Healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do.' Then he added, 'Now go and learn the meaning of this scripture.'" And here's where he quotes this: "'I want you to show mercy, not offer sacrifices. For I have come to call,'" Jesus is saying, "'For I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners.'" When it comes to showing mercy and love to others, we need to pay attention to those words of Jesus. Perhaps these words of His may hit a little too close to home. Let's look at Luke chapter 6, starting in verse 32. Jesus says, "If you love only those who love you, why should you get credit for that? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good only to those who do good to you, why should you get credit? Even sinners do that much. And if you lend money only to those who can repay you, why should you get credit? Even sinners will lend to other sinners for a full return. He continues, love your enemies. Do good to them. This was new stuff, what they're hearing. Love your enemies. Do good to them. Lend to them without expecting to be repaid. Then your reward from heaven will be very great, and you will be truly acting as children of the Most High. For He is kind to those who are unthankful and wicked. You must be compassionate, just as your Father is compassionate. Verse 37, do not judge others, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn others, or it will all come back against you. Forgive others, and you will be forgiven. Give, and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together, to make room for more, running over, poured into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back. Then Jesus gave the following illustration. Can one blind man lead another? Won't they both fall into a ditch? Students are not greater than their teacher, but the student who is fully trained will become like the teacher. And why worry about a speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own? How can you think of saying, friend, let me help you get rid of that speck in your eye when you can't see past the log in your own eye? Hypocrite! First, get rid of the log in your own eye. Then you will see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eye. Now, we've all heard that story many times. Here's an example of what that might look like in our lives. I'm going to bring this home for us, because I said this teaching is new, and here's what I mean. It's not new, because the true meaning behind the law that was given in the Old Testament, the true meaning behind everything that the prophets said and demanded of the people, have always been all about love and mercy. The two great commandments Jesus mentioned, love your God, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And likewise, and as important as that, love your neighbor as yourself. Those have always been a part of it, but the teachers of religious law have gotten so far away from the essence of the law and the essence of what the prophets had to say. They had lost the true purpose of it. But I want to bring this home a little bit. Perhaps we have no hesitation judging and condemning someone who is involved in adultery or is pregnant out of wedlock or is trapped in homosexuality. We're quick to write them off as sinners and to keep our distance, rather than showing them the love and mercy of a God who can heal them and change their lives. Our minds can easily recall the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah to help justify our judgment. But we conveniently ignore the words in Ezekiel 16:49, where God says Sodom's sins were pride, gluttony, laziness, while the poor and needy suffered outside the door. Now, who has the speck and who has the log? Listen, my point is not that we ignore the clear teachings of the Bible when it comes to sin and consequences. You know that. The last few sermons we've had, we've been clear on that. My point is that we must be sure we're remembering the two greatest commandments that Jesus says are the essence of all that is taught in the law and the prophets. Do you understand what that means? If you obey these two commandments, you will be adhering to what's written in the Mosaic law and what's demanded by the prophets. Let's do a quick example. Let's take a look at the Ten Commandments. The first four commandments are covered by the command that Jesus gave, which is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. If we do that, let's see if we take care of these first four commandments. And here they are, paraphrased. I am the Lord your God. You must not have any other God but me. I think it's got that one covered. Second one, you must not make for yourself an idol or image of any kind. You must not bow down to them or worship them. If you love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, you've got that one covered. Number three, you must not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Don't use the Lord's name in vain. If you love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, you're not going to have any problem with that. Number four, you must remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. It is dedicated to the Lord. If you love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, you will make time for God. You will honor His request of rest and time with Him. Days of being dedicated to Him. Now the other six commands are covered by the command to love your neighbor as yourself. So here they are, paraphrased. The fifth one, honor your father and mother. If you love others as yourself, you will honor your father and mother. Number six, you must not murder. Well, that's pretty obvious. If you love others as yourself, you're not going to commit murder. Seven, you must not commit adultery. Ditto, we know, we got that covered. Eight, you must not steal. Okay? If you're stealing, you're stealing from someone. So if you're loving them as you love yourself, you're not going to steal from them. Number nine, you must not testify falsely against your neighbor. Don't testify falsely against your neighbor. Don't lie and say something that's not true to condemn someone or for there to be a false testimony against someone. If you love them as you love yourself, you won't do this. And the tenth, you must not covet your neighbor's wife. All of those, all six of those, if you obey that love your neighbor as you love yourself, you're not going to have any problems. So I'm giving you an example of what the essence of the law was all about. It was about loving the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and loving your neighbor or others as yourself. By fulfilling those two laws, you're pretty much fulfilling these Ten Commandments. You're fulfilling the essence of the law and the prophets. Let's listen to what Paul says in Romans chapter 13, starting in verse 8. He says, owe nothing to anyone except for your obligation to love one another. If you love your neighbor, listen, Paul's saying the same thing here. He says, if you love your neighbor, you will fulfill the requirements of God's law. For the commandments say, you must not commit adultery. You must not murder. You must not steal. You must not covet. These and other such commandments are summed up in this one commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to others, so love fulfills the requirements of God's law. Paul had a lot to say about love. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, he pauses in that book of 1 Corinthians, that letter he wrote, he pauses and he writes a whole chapter's worth of words expressing the necessity of love and how it's the most important thing that we can have as God's people. He clearly states that without it, our efforts are worthless. Look, he gets into the roles of in the giftings of people in the body of Christ. You know, he talks about the apostles, the prophets, teachers, those with gifts of healing, those with gifts of faith. He talks about all these incredible things, gifts that the Holy Spirit bestows upon God's people to accomplish His work. But he says all of that stuff is just worthless. It's rubbish. Without love, it's all worthless. He says you'll be a clanging cymbal, just making a bunch of noise. He says you'll amount to nothing. Your work will be in vain. It will accomplish nothing. Love is at the core of not only who we are, but what we do. It should be. In his letter to the Galatians, Paul is correcting the believers in the church in Galatia. He's correcting them because they began to drift from the truth of salvation by faith alone, and they started to rely again upon following the law to try and earn salvation. Things like circumcision and things like all these other things they observed in the law, they began to drift back into that, forgetting that they're saved by grace through faith alone. And Paul brings them back to the truth. And here's what he states in Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. He says this, "For when we place our faith in Christ Jesus, there is no benefit in being circumcised or being uncircumcised. What is important is faith expressing itself in love." That's what he states as the most important thing, is that our faith in God, in His Son Jesus Christ, in His death and resurrection, our faith in that as our means of salvation doesn't stop there. It expresses itself in love. And you know, love, we're not talking about just an emotional sentiment. We're talking about actions. Acts of love. John, let's go back to the words we started with and listen again to what Jesus is saying. "So now I am giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other." Your love, this is how we know, it's not just an emotional sentiment, because Jesus says that your love for one another will prove. How will it prove? Through acts, through things that people can see. Your love will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Jesus demonstrated His love for us by laying down His life to save us. He was the perfect example because His love for us was perfect. And perfect love casts out all fear. This type of love seems unattainable to us. And we have to remember that in our own abilities, that is absolutely correct. We cannot achieve this kind of love on our own. And this ties into all that we've been talking and learning about, goes back to the same thing. A little further in John, Jesus gives us the secret. We must remain in His love. John 15, starting in verse 9. Jesus says, "I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in His love. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. This is my commandment." Here he goes again. "This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way I have loved you. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends, and if you do what I command. I no longer call you slaves because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. Now you are my friends. since I have told you everything the Father told me. You, listen to this, you didn't choose me. I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. This is my command. He states it again. Love each other. I mentioned, I think last week or the week before, 1 John. And how 1 John is an excellent test for us. We really need to read 1 John. We need to read all the Bible regularly, all of God's Word. But we need to pay attention to 1 John. You know, sometimes we don't pay attention to the little books towards the back of the Bible. But we need to pay attention to 1 John because it's an excellent test for us. The Bible says, examine yourself. Examine yourself. Be sure that the faith you have is real. And 1 John is, I mean, he is not mincing words. He is straight to the point. I just want to give you an example. It's not going to be on the screen. But in 1 John, let's look at chapter 3, verses 10 through 19. I just want to give you an example of how you can use this to look at it like a mirror. And speaking of love, you wouldn't believe how many times it's mentioned in this book. Starting with verse 10, chapter 3, verse 10. So now we can tell who are children of God and who are children of the devil. Anyone who does not live righteously and does not love other believers does not belong to God. Wow. He continues, this is the message you have heard from the beginning. We certainly heard it from our Lord Jesus. We should love one another. We must not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and killed his brother. And why did he kill him? Because Cain had been doing what was evil, and his brother had been doing what was righteous. So don't be surprised, dear brothers and sisters, if the world hates you. If we love our Christian brothers and sisters, it proves that we have passed from death to life. But a person who has no love is still dead. Anyone who hates another brother or sister is really a murderer at heart. And you know that murderers don't have eternal life within them. We know that real love is because Jesus gave up His life for us. So we also ought to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters. If someone has enough money to live well and sees a brother or sister in need but shows no compassion, how can God's love be in that person? Dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions. Our actions will show that we belong to the truth. So we will be confident when we stand before God. I told you he doesn't mince words. The whole book is pretty much like that. And it gets straight to the point. How do we know we're children of God? Read this and look at it like a mirror, and let's not shrink away from it. When we find something that's a blemish, that's wrong, that's out of place, that doesn't belong, let's deal with it. But don't run from this, just like you shouldn't run from any of the wonderful passages in the Bible. Our only chance of loving others the way Christ loves us can be illustrated with the moon, believe it or not. When we go outside at night and it's a clear sky and we've got a full moon, we can easily see where we're going. We can, it's kind of neat. You go out and, hey, I can still see. I don't need a flashlight or anything. You can see where you're going. We even call it moonlight. The moon, however, is incapable of producing light. It can only reflect light. The light we call moonlight is actually sunlight. The moon is simply reflecting the true source of light. the Son. It's the same with our love for others. We are incapable of loving others the way Christ loves us. We're incapable. We cannot do it. We can only reflect His love to accomplish it. So I'm going to end with this, and we have to remember this. We didn't choose God. He chose us. True love and mercy will flow when we realize this truth. We love because He first loved us. We must allow His love to reflect off of us. Let's pray. Father, help us to truly understand what it is You are commanding us to do in regards to loving others, but not just understand it. Help us to then take that understanding and apply it in our lives. God, love, Your kind of love, should infiltrate every aspect of our lives. Every interaction we have with people, with the world, should reflect Your love in the words that we say, in acts of kindness that we do, in the way we view others, in the way we judge, in our compassion for others. Your love needs to mold and shape all of those things. Because the greatest commandment is to love You, and with that type of love, we are to love others. So help us to yield ourselves to Your love. Fill us with Your Holy Spirit, who is able to love others through us. That's what we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to a broadcast from Life Point Church in Greenville, South Carolina. If this ministry has touched your life in some way, we would love to hear from you. Just visit our website at www.lifepointsc.org for more information. Or, if you prefer to reach us by letter, you can write to us at P.O. Box 27036, Greenville, South Carolina, 29616, USA. Until next time, may God bless you as you continue to follow Him. My heart.